This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
A week ago marked the 10th anniversary of Auburn's national championship win over Oregon. It's been a decade since the Tigers and the Auburn family celebrated a Wes Byram field goal in the national championship in Glendale, Arizona. Through the fall, Brad Law produced a series of podcasts for the Auburn Sports Network celebrating the national championship season. 2 weeks ago, you heard from the head coach on that team, Gene Chizik. Today, you get to hear from several of the players. Defensive back DeSharvin Bell, offensive weapon Ontario McCaleb, linebacker Josh Bynes, defensive lineman Nosa Egwai, and offensive tackle Lee Zempa sat down for Zoom interviews to talk about that magical season. Auburn's 2010 national championship season is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. When you guys look back to that 2010 season, I mean, there's so many highlights through that year. An undefeated season, SEC championship, national championship. What's the first thing? And I'll start with you on this one, Ontario. What's the first thing you think about when you think back to 2010?
2010, the first thing I think about is when everybody counted us out. Every week we had to prove the world, the next team, that we deserve to be number one and we deserve to go play for that championship. I feel like that year we really didn't get to be number one until the end. They'll put us at number one for a week and they'll take us off and pick somebody else as number one. And back then, every Sundays, we used to have like dinner, team dinner, and we used to wait for the polls and everything to come out. So while the whole team and everybody coaching, and we just sitting there waiting for the polls and everything to come out, it's like, wow, they still disrespecting us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So on those days, we supposed to been eating on Sundays, when the polls came out and they did put us at number one, we was ready to go practice again. No matter how sore we was or anything, that type of team that we had in 2010, it was like a magical team, because every week we had to prove people in the week in, week out that we are the best, we are number one. But it's something about, you know what I'm saying, the world and the people that do all the voting don't like Auburn.
How about you, T-Bell?
I just think about the work we put into it, you know, that summer leading up to it. You know, a lot of people, most people didn't see that, you know, so only the coaches, the players, the strength coaches, training room staff, those were the people, you know, that seen it and that knew what we could do. But the outside looking in, you know, like Ontario said, they didn't give us a chance. So, you know, during that summer, you know, we prepared, you know, like we were going to be the best team and like we could win every game as long as we took it week by week. And that's how we did it.
When did you guys have an idea that this was a special team, that this could be a historic football team at Auburn University?
I would say for me, I feel like the chemistry we had with each other, like we bonded together and not, you know what I'm saying? It's been times I saw teams, you know what I'm saying? People come from, take it back to their high school days and they fight with each other when they give, you know what I'm saying? They have somebody on this side of a rivalry they had in high school, but they end up going to the same college and they're not with each other. It's not like a family. So that's why I say the chemistry, because of, and the coaches we had. We had really good coaches that was there and treated us like family. It makes kids want to go out there and play and win on Saturdays and want to go to practice because we had that family orientation with each other. And then we had to worry about, oh, being so many miles away from home. That was our family here.
When we beat LSU, I think we might have been 6-0 or 7-0. I think we were ranked 4, they were ranked 6. And there was a lot of talk about their defense, obviously, and their run defense. And I think we ran for like 300 yards. And then Ontario scored a game on a touchdown, like 74 yards. So I think, you know, when we beat LSU, I think that's when we knew. It was just the way we ran the ball on them. I think that's when, you know, the team kind of hit another gear. It was like, man, we really got something special. We really can do this. And I think we took off from there.
All right, Ontario, he brought it up. So I'm going to ask you about that LSU game. You go 70 yards into the north end zone that night. There's a classic picture of our sideline reporter, Quentin Riggins. As you're running past him, he's pointing into the end zone. There's a great picture of that. If you can, and listen, we know, I mean, jet sweep really became the play that you're synonymous with at Auburn. So, Terry, if you can, take us through that play.
Well, that play right there, it took a lot for us to really run that play because we put the work in with it. And having Cam at quarterback and Cam, you know what I'm saying, Cam's been running up the middle all day. And that right there set the trend for me to get outside. But that one play, it wasn't just so me. It was the receivers. We got Terrell Zachary. We got Darvin Adams. We got Cody Burns. We got those guys out there. If it wasn't for those guys, it wouldn't have been no 70 yards. With that play, it was all built on the receivers, the quarterback, and everybody playing their parts. I don't know if you remember earlier that day, Cam had scored a touchdown on one of those plays. When he ran up the middle and everybody thought he was down, but he wasn't down. He turned to another gear and he scored. But that play right there, it was just, you know what I'm saying, from the offensive line, from the quarterback doing his job and the receivers. When I got the ball and I got to the outside, it was like, because a lot of people really wanted me to run to the sideline. They thought I was just going to run out of bounds, but I had a crease with the receivers out when I cut it up, and I seen a number of green grass. It was like, ain't nobody stopping me from getting to that power line. And that was my goal. Every time I touch the ball, if I make it to that power line, it's touchdown, no matter what. So I feel like with my speed and the receivers doing their job and everybody doing their job, once I got out in front of everybody, nobody wasn't going to catch me. I was going to do whatever I can to get to that power line. Defense was light. Because that year, a lot of people didn't give our defense a lot of credit.
Yeah.
So the offense, it was like they were saying, every week the offense so high power, so they're going to meet it. If they Auburn meets another high power team that can score, that's when you'll see how Auburn offense is.
Yeah. DeSharvin, he brings up a really interesting point because starting with the first South Carolina game, I mean, it really was a lot about Auburn's offense that season. But that Mississippi State game, your SEC opener was in Starkville. I'm not sure we really knew what the offense could do at that point. And that was a big game for the defense. What are your thoughts, your memories of that SEC opener in Starkville?
It was physical. It was a physical game. All those cowbells ringing. It's like, God, I wish they'd stop those cowbells. It was definitely a physical game. They were downhill. We were hitting. They were hitting. I remember it coming down to they had the ball, and I want to say we had about four DBs on the field. We were either nickel or dime. We ended, I think, DeMon ended up with a pass breakup at the end of the game to win the game. Maybe it was a miscommunication. He threw a goal ball, and the receiver ran a stop route. And I think that's how we got off the field on that fourth down to win the game. I think we won 17-14. But just a physical game. You know, that's what you expect in SEC play. Physicality week in, week out. And for us, you know, kind of finding our identity that, you know, we can make stops when we need to. And a big thing for defense, you want to win on third down. I'm not sure what the stats was on third down that night. But when we needed it, we did it. We were able to come through.
You had six tackles at Kentucky. And that was another really tough game. On the road, you guys had to come from behind. A game-winning drive, a long drive in the fourth quarter that ran out with the Wes Byram field goal. What are your memories about the game in Lexington?
Number two was the real deal for us. I think he scored five touchdowns. He scored a field goal. He didn't even get touched. And then I was just pulling together. I remember before that game-winning drive, I think we tried to run a reverse on the kickoff return, and we almost gave that ball up. And then we drove like 90 yards, you know, to win the game on that West Byron kick. But that's another physical game, you know, us thinking we were probably going to come in and steamroll them, which we probably should have. We probably should have still beat them out 14, 17 points, but made it closer than it should have been. But Randall Carr played a great game for them. You know, they had some guys on defense that could play. I think it was just Auburn being Auburn, you know, putting the fans in a – situation where they're nervous and their hearts about to bust out of their chest. So just Auburn being Auburn, but the great teams find a way to win, and we did.
And Terry, you had over 900 yards rushing that year. Cam obviously had a big year. Michael Dyer had a big year. Talk about the running game that season, because you guys had you had someone in Dyer that could run between the tackles. Cam could, he was obviously very physical. You had the great speed to the outside. If you would just talk about the versatility of the running game in 2010 for Auburn.
The ways of getting everybody's ball, Coach Mazon was a genius at doing that. Because once we started practicing and he realized all the things he had to put together when we got there, because we didn't really have everybody in 2009. We had a good offense, you know what I'm saying? But we didn't have all the aspects, all the positions filled out. So when 2010 came, it was like Miles sitting down. It was like, how is he going to be able to do everything with Cam, Mike, with me? We still had Mario Fannin. The way, how is he going to make all these guys happy on Saturday? But not knowing that we're ready to do whatever we need to do just to win. It's not about, you know what I'm saying, being selfish with who gets the ball, that could this person get the ball more than that person. We all just came together, and you know what I'm saying, when it was our turn to touch the ball, we had to do what we had to do. I give all the credit to Coach Miles on with that, because his offense is made for to have, when you have more than two or three athletes on the field at a time.
All right, guys, let me jump ahead to the Alabama game. The greatest comeback by an opponent ever in Tuscaloosa. T-Bell, let me start with you first. What was the difference defensively from the first half to the second half of that game?
I think just settling down. All year we hadn't been in an environment like that. You know, we had LSU home. We had Georgia home. So just being in an environment like we were at Tuscaloosa, I think just settling down, you know, reading our keys, doing your job. I think that was the difference in the second half. I know the first half I bust the coverage that went for about 70, and then we had guys getting out of the gap, misfitting. We also had some guys that didn't play the first half. So just settling down and then getting the guys that we lost back from the end of the Georgia game, you know, played a part in the defense sticking together and coming back.
Ontario, you look at that game, and I talked with Coach Chizik a couple weeks ago, and you've alluded to it already. He talked about the character of that team, because that's not the only game where you guys came from behind. You had to come from behind early in the year against Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson.
What was it about that team, even if it fell behind, to come back, not lose its poise, and come back and win those ball games?
I would say the leaders we had on that team. Going in at halftime, the whole first half, it was like nothing was going good for us. It was like nothing. It was like every time Alabama had the ball, either even scoring or you know what I'm saying, or getting the first down, it was like nothing was going good for us. So the whole first half, you know what I'm saying, the dark clouds was on outside. So when the second half came and that little piece of sun we had come open and open that and take that dark cloud from over us, That let us know, hey, it's time to play ball. We started, we came out late, we came out, you know what I'm saying? It's time for us to come out here and play ball. And then at halftime, everything was completely quiet in the locker room. I don't think not one coach said anything. I think Arturo Freeman stood up and he started talking. Not one coach said something to us until it still was time to go back on the field.
Do you remember what he said? Do you remember what Bull said?
I think he was calling everybody out.
Yeah.
He told Cam, where you at, Cam?
Yeah.
Where you at? He wasn't calling everybody out. It was like, you know what I'm saying, we get all the way this far, and where y'all at now?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to go out there and play. He calling everybody out. Every position, he calling them out. He stood up. See, that's why I say it was like the leaders we had on that team. Arturo Freeman is like, was one of those leaders. He's one of those linebackers that's going to hit you in your mouth and ain't going to tell you when you do something wrong and regret and tell you when you do something right. That's how he was. That's what he stood for.
Did anybody teach Philip Lutz and Kirk in the dance, or was that him and his alone?
Ah, that was all Philip, man. Anybody, you can't teach that. Can't teach that.
I think it was one of those moments where, you know what I'm saying, you're getting everything not going good for us in the first half, and you come back in the second half, and we come finna come back and take the lead. And when he scored, I think that's the first thing that came to his mind. He just wanted – that's the dance that came to his mind.
Yeah, he was just overwhelmed with excitement, man, like a little kid.
Ebel, you had a fumble recovery and a pick six in 2010. They both came against South Carolina. The fumble recovery against Carolina at Jordan-Hare Stadium and the pick six in the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. Take us through the pick six. What did you see? What was the coverage? And what are your memories of that play?
I know we just come out of a timeout, and Coach Roof said we're going to heat him up. So we come out with our dime package. We go zero coverage, all our blitz. And he says, hey, right before I ran out, he said, hey, you watch for that screen. All right, coach. And so they come out in formation, and it's just what he told us it would be. And I get down on the line, and I'm like, all right, here we go. And he snaps that ball, and I kind of, like, initially just going for the quarterback. I forgot, it slipped my mind about the screen. And I probably took about 3-4 steps, and I'm like, oh. I got too easy. And soon as I went to pressing on brakes and trying to go back to DeMarco, the ball just right in my hands. So I just ran to the end zone.
Ontario, then you guys have a month to prepare for the national championship game against Oregon. And it's two high-powered offenses going into that game. What was that like, just having that much time to prepare for one game for a national championship?
I think we didn't even want to wait a month. We just really wanted to go play it next week. You know what I'm saying? Just because that South Carolina game, the SEC championship game, I really think that South Carolina got it because we really wanted to play Florida, University of Florida. Mm-hmm. That's why we had to give it to South Carolina. They just fell in a bad spot just then because we was hoping that we go to the SEC championship, we play the University of Florida. Coming off that win, then going to – you got to talk about Oregon. Everybody talk about Oregon all year. Everybody's talking about Oregon all year. With us going out there and preparing and practicing every day, I kind of feel like, you know what I'm saying, it was going to be the team that late makes the fewest mistakes because they got a good offense, we got a good offense. Their defense good, our defense good. So the team that made the fewest mistakes, and cause they already knew that we was coming from the SEC and we coming to hit them in the mouth. Our defense coming to smash. We got a quarterback, and we got some big running back that's going to – they're not just going to run away from them. See, I'm going to get the ball, and I'm going to run as fast as I could. But with our defense and our offense, our coaching staff and everything, I think that what got us to the point to where when we get out there, we're going to have to handle business. And another thing, that year, a lot of it goes to Coach Yachts, the sprint coach.
Yeah.
Coach Yachts was just like a coach, like a position coach. Coach Yachts was just like a father. Because that's one person that was on that Auburn campus is going to shoot you straight no matter who you are. That's how he was. And that made us want to go work out. That made us want to go lift. That made us want to push those sleds at 5 in the morning or 3:30 in the afternoon where they can't, where the sleds won't even move. We still had to push them.
T. Bell, what's your thoughts there, bud?
I think it was 27 days that we had to prepare before we played them. So definitely the coaching staff. I tell you, I got tired of seeing my teammates. I tell you that because you don't go that period. You don't go that long of a period outside of the summer, in 2 days and just leading up the preparation to kickoff, preparing for, just one single game. Defensively, it helped us, because of what Oregon did, the pace that they ran the offense, I think they were snapping the ball every 13 seconds. So for us to be able to prepare for that speed, to see the plays over and over and over again. And then just the coaches being able to keep us hungry, not get complacent, not take a day for granted, not take a walkthrough for granted, not take a film session for granted. Definitely the coaches did a great job in preparing us in those 27 days, but also our leadership you know, I think we had like 36 seniors on that team. You know, we had guys that had been through the wars, that had ups and downs. You know, they really took advantage of the moment. So that 27 days, it was long. I think it was much needed in a lot of aspects. And in the end, I think it benefited us. You know, like Ontario said, you know, limited our mistakes. But we came out and we played Auburn football. And we missed a few. We had a few miscues. We should have beat Oregon by at least 14 points.
Did you guys have a sense of the history that you were making? Because Auburn had not won a national championship since 1957. Finally, the time has come for Auburn to play on that national stage. Is that something you guys thought of then? And if you didn't, is it something that you think of now?
I didn't think about it then, because to me, you know what I'm saying, we were out there doing something that we really love. It was playing ball. Because coming from where we come from, coming from Florida, that's what we, Friday nights is about, playing ball. So I didn't think about it then, but after, I thought about it. Because I used to tell myself, you know what I'm saying, how go Auburn, because to one of my favorite quarterbacks, of course, was Bo Jackson, Ronnie Brown, and Cadillac. So it was like in 2004, they go undefeated and they cheated Auburn from going to the, how can you go undefeated? And then, and that threat right there started making me notice, oh, okay, during the year, like I pick back on, like during the year, every Sunday we had team dinner, and they never want to pick Auburn number one. Nobody gave us a chance. Nobody's giving us a chance. Nobody trying to give us a chance. So that, all that plays back into, man, I hope, you know what I'm saying, before the national championship, I hope they don't try to do us like they did in 2004. Because every year, even when we went to play Ole Miss, at Ole Miss, they were saying we're going to lose that game. They didn't put us at number one after that game. Week in, week out, we had to keep proving to the world Auburn deserves the chance. And then that plays a factor into, oh, from 2004 and all the previous years, that didn't let Auburn do it. Didn't let Auburn go.
For me, I stayed in a community where my gate code was 1957. So I kind of had no choice, you know, but to think about it. You know, I didn't know about the history of, as far as like the 83 and the 93 season. I did know about 2004, and there's no words for that. You know, you got a team, you know, that many athletes, that many, you know, NFL caliber guys, and they don't even get the chance to play for, you know, the championship. I definitely thought about, you know, what it would mean to Auburn. We both, Ontario as well, we were both around people, like, as far as like the mentors that we had and study table, the people that we were connected with in the community. A lot of people, you know, talked about what it would mean, you know, for us to bring a championship back. So I know I definitely thought about it, you know, leading up to the game, and then just, you know, from the phone calls and texts that I had after the game. And I'm like, man, it's going to be crazy when we get back off. Like, it's going to be crazy. And I never seen that much toilet paper roll in Auburn. Like, it was like it was snowing out there, man. It was covered. So it was just something special, man. It was, I mean, when you get back, you got people crying, you know, just filled with emotion. And they're looking at us like we're some kind of superheroes, you know, and just telling us thank you. And, they, you know, how long they waited for this. You got people that have been to games all their lives and you know, hadn't experienced. And it was big for us, but it was good to feel the love, to feel the appreciation, you know, of a community like Auburn.
All right, one final question for both of you. Where were you when the game-winning field goal went through the uprights against Oregon? What was your view of it? You start, T-Bell.
Was with Coach Thigpen was leaning on my shoulder. He was telling me he couldn't watch it. So usually when the offense, I try to get on the other side of the field. So the offense is on the north end. I try to get on the south end as far as I can. You know, that way I can see. I kind of like to watch, you know, behind. So I can see what kind of formation we're in, what I think we're about to run. I was trying to decipher the plays. But so I was on the other end, and Coach Thigpen was leaning on my shoulder telling me he couldn't watch. And I remember seeing Neil fall over, man, and it was confetti falling from there.
How about you, Ontario?
I think me and Mike was trying to stand on the field, and the referee was trying to tell us to back up off the field. And then, you know, we seen Coach Chittis lean down into and throw the arm up and say, get out the field. So we, you know what I'm saying? Me and Mike was standing by each other, me, Mike, and Coach Looper, our running back coach. So, you know what I'm saying? All of us was standing right there. But I wasn't the type of person that had to close my eyes because I already knew what kind of kicker we had. No matter what, Wes was going to get that ball up through the uprights. Yeah. And, you know what I'm saying, we was going to win that game because it was, like you said, it all boils down back to all the years that they didn't let Auburn go playing that championship game. And it all comes down to a field goal. So I was like, oh, we won. We just going to get back on this plane. We finna head by the Auburn, Alabama. We finna go back. We finna go party.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, that secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama. Now part two of our interviews with Josh Bynes, Nosa Egwi, and Lee Zemba. Is it hard for anybody to believe it's been a decade since you guys played in that 2010, in that national championship season? Josh, let me start with you, considering you're still playing ball.
Yeah, it's been insane. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's been a ride for sure. I can't believe it's been 10 years. And like you say, I'm still playing. I was told my wife, you know, give me a couple years. And that couple years turned to 10 now. So it's been going great so far. And it's been a crazy 10 years. And it's a blessing being in this position right now.
Lee, like Josh, this was your senior season. This was the end of the topper to your career at Auburn. Talk about, if you would, the experience that offensive line had going into that 2010 season.
I thought it was pretty special. We'd all been playing together for so long, and you know, I really thought in 2009 we had started to gel into a really good unit, and then it just exploded that summer right before the 2010 season, to where the nonverbal communication we had was just very special, and we just started to gel. I think we knew, you know, something was going to be special that year. Just leading into it, just the fact that how many snaps we had played together, you know, and you could just tell it was going to be just amazing.
No, sir, for you, you were the young guy. I mean, you were the freshman in this group. You got to play, of course, in two national championship games in your Auburn career. What are your thoughts about that redshirt freshman season at Auburn?
Yeah, you know, it was, for it to be 10 years it's crazy. I feel like it was yesterday. You know, I remember playing for those seniors. I remember playing for Lee. I remember playing for Josh. I remember playing for the guys that, you know, 2 years before that went 5-7. And there was this chip on their shoulder. I remember coming into Auburn and things were different. Coach Chizik, he was shifting the culture. And it was tough. And a lot of guys, you know, unfortunately didn't make it. And I remember coming in 2009, and there was this sense of, all right, this is the time when we make this about what we're going to do now moving forward. And, you know, 2009 was just such a, you saw the chip starting to fall in place. I remember, you know, Iron Bowl 2009, and it was a close game. It was a dogfight. We lost at the very end. And there was something about that season that really stuck out to me was coming back after the Outback Bowl. You know, it was a triple overtime game. I was a redshirt on that team. But I remember Coach Chizik and the coaches really setting the precedent in our first meeting coming back from winter break. And we had a lot of penalties that day. It was a crazy, crazy game. But, you know, it probably could have ended a lot sooner than it did. Coach Chizik really set the precedent on it was going to be different, that we were going to, you know, understand that yeah, we got a win. Yeah, we won the Outback Bowl, but that wasn't what we were settling for, that we were going to aim for championships. I mean, we were going to shift the culture and we were going to bring back a championship to Auburn. And, you know, I remember going through that spring and it was just about competition. Every position was open. Everybody was competing. And, you know, when you had so many seniors on the team, from a freshman's perspective, all I wanted to do was ensure that I was doing my job so they can have their senior year right. And that can end right, and that those guys could end on top. And for it to end the way that it did, winning the national championship, winning it all, you know, having the seniors that was a part of that, you know, 5-7 season, for them to end at the top was incredibly, incredibly important to me. and the other freshmen and the other sophomores and other young guys. But I think it was really just a testament to their leadership.
Guys, let's go through a couple of the games that season. And I wanted to ask, especially Josh and Nosa, about the Mississippi State game. Because, listen, we didn't see a whole lot from the offense in that game. It really wasn't unleashed until maybe two or three games later. So defense was so big in that Mississippi State game. Josh, you had six tackles in that game, three solos at a quarterback hurry. That was your SEC opener. Josh, what do you remember about that game on the road in Starkville back in early September?
I think it was just us just, you know, I guess you could tell early in that season was trying to gel and get everything down packed. And defensively, we were just trying to get after it. And I know we made some plays defensively as well. We were just trying to make sure we get stops and put our offense in position. And obviously, that was a story pretty much for the most of the season. Our offense would do such great things, or it might be a time where offense maybe struggled, and defensively we started to, you know, make up for the, you know, especially from a lot of times in the first half, we didn't play as great. But in the second half, we started to play such great defense throughout the season. I remember Coach Roof always said we was probably one of the best second half defenses of all of the whole country, because in the second half, we would be a whole different defense and always limit yards, limit big plays, and obviously put the ball in the offense hand because they was capable of making things happen.
All right, guys, let's go to the Clemson game. I mean, you talk about two different halves of football. No, yeah. First half, it's all Clemson. You guys kind of start to put it together offensively, Lee, in the second half and end up winning that game in overtime. What was the difference from an offensive standpoint in your mind?
You know, the biggest thing I remember for that game is how physical it was, first of all. I remember my dad telling me after the game how he was here and he was sitting, you know, 50 rows up here in the pads popping. It was just unbelievable. But that game, I remember the butt chewing we got on Sunday from Coach Chizik, and he pointed at in front of the entire team how terribly we played as an offensive line. Really and truly challenged us for the next week against South Carolina, you know, to kick it in gear another notch, because there were a few plays where it was just we didn't rise to the challenge, you know, at Clemson, and really, I think we got lucky in a few spots there. And I think that was shown towards the end of the game. I just remember that butt chewing we got on Sunday afternoon from Coach Chizik right in front of the entire team. And he said, you know, pretty much, you guys are supposed to be the old guys, the experienced people, and supposed to be one of the strengths of this football team. And you were a weakness yesterday. That really killed our pride. So we had to kick it in gear for the rest of the season.
Josh, you had a big game, 11 tackles in that game. You had a couple tackles for loss. What memories do you have of Clemson?
Oh, man, Lee hit it on the head with that one. He said how physical that game was. It really was one of those physical games. Like, it felt like truly like one of those, you know, Georgia-Alabama games, because you could tell on both sides of the ball that we all wanted it. We came up with some fourth down stop on the going into our end zone where we come out of the tunnel at. Fourth down, and then we, you know, I made a play. I think everybody was making plays. We gave up some stuff, like I said, in the beginning, and I just feel like definitely in the second half we came alive as a defense and just limited everything they had and took it into overtime. And like you said, we had a couple of lucky breaks. I'm not going to lie, God was on our side a lot during that season, and I'm thankful he was on our side definitely against Clemson, because we definitely needed him for sure.
All right, let's move ahead another week. South Carolina. I don't know. Just from a stat perspective, this is the first really big game that you had. You had five tackles, a tackle and a half for loss in that game. Do you remember that kind of being one of those games where you felt you were starting to break through on that defensive front?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the weeks before that, you know, Mississippi State was my first SEC game. You know, I remember just having that deer in the headlights look coming out of the bus, and I didn't know the whole backstory with Cam. And how he was recruited by Mississippi State and was down at Mississippi State and Auburn. But I remember getting off the bus at the time that he did, and the fan ran up to him and tried to grab him. Coach Luke grabbed the fan, threw him, and I was like, man, this is SEC football. And, you know, just having that deer in the headlights look, but like slowly game after game, just getting more comfortable. And South Carolina was my first start. It was my first start at Auburn. And I remember that Tuesday, Coach Rocker calling me and letting me know that I was going to be moving into the starting rotation. And all I ever wanted to do was perform and compete and ensure that, you know, I was doing my job for the seniors. So to get that opportunity was huge. I remember that week, you know, sitting down with Mike Goggins. He was there for 5 years. He put in the work every single day, and he was sitting with me, and we were going play by play, watching film together. It was his job that I was able to take and start in that game. But this, it just shows you the selflessness. It showed you just how the seniors were so committed to winning ball games. And there was really no pride when it came to us defensively. It was no pride. It was all about the unit. It was all about us ensuring that we did our job to win football games. But I remember, you know, just having the nerves when my first start at Auburn. Marcus Lattimore, you know, Stephen Garcia, Alshon Jeffrey. You know, they had talent across the board. For me, you know, I knew that I had a mismatch. You know, the guy that I was going against, I felt like I was better than. You know, I wanted to go out there every single snap and defeat him and do my job so our team could win. And we ended up getting the victory. It was a close one, once again.
Lee, I think you guys took to heart Coach Chizik's challenge on that previous Sunday because you guys ran the ball quite well.
Yeah,
against South Carolina 1 week later. And Cam did a lot of that, but it seemed like you guys responded to that challenge from a week ago.
Yeah, it was definitely the tale of two seasons, I feel like. And I think that, especially for us as an offensive line, especially, you know, before the Clemson, you know, the Clemson game and before, I felt like we were two different offensive lines. And that challenge really helped us kick it in gear and turn it to a different level where there were no excuses anymore. You know, we had one shot to do this and, you know, let's go get it. It was just it was special after that. It just felt like everything got rolling.
Josh, you had two games where you picked up interceptions. The South Carolina game, and we'll talk about Arkansas a little bit later. What do you remember about the first South Carolina game at home?
What I remember most was about the whole Marcus Lattimore and the Michael Dyer thing, you know, how Marcus Lattimore wanted to come to Auburn or he committed and he didn't and he went to South Carolina. So our biggest thing was, you know, in a sense, it was like, all right, you don't want to come here, so let's go ahead and make sure we stop the run that whole game. And I don't even remember how many yards he had, but I know for sure he had 100, might have 60, I believe, or something like that. But we just wanted to make sure he felt our presence from the beginning to the end of the game. And that he had no way of getting any kind of big statistics against us. And obviously the biggest part for myself personally was just getting the interception at the end of the game. Yeah, once the other quarterback went out, I forgot the quarterback came in, but ended up getting an interception to seal that game as well.
All right, guys, let's talk about at Kentucky. I mean, you talk about a tough one. It's a point of the season that could go completely different if you guys don't make a comeback in that ball game. Lee, let me ask you, just from an offensive standpoint, talk about the game-winning drive. I mean, not only was it a drive that ends up with Wes Byram kicking the game-winning field goal, but you guys took tons of time. I mean, you took tons of time off the clock and did not give Kentucky an opportunity to get the ball back.
That was something special at the end of the game. I can't remember, what is it, 16-play drive or something like that? Lasted almost 10 minutes. It was insane. I know we did put the ball on the ground a couple times during that series, and we're very fortunate to get the ball back. But it was just one of those grind it out. Let's win the ball game right here, and let's not put it on our defense. And we played physical, and we tried to limit the mistakes and just took it on down the field. And I thought that was a big growing up period for our entire offense.
Anything stick out from that ball game for you, Josh, the win at Kentucky, or for you, Noza, that win at Kentucky?
I mean, Randall Cobb, that's all you can say, because that man did every single thing for Kentucky. And he still became a problem in the NFL, too, and he made it happen for him. I know for a fact after that game, I was not happy we won that game. I remember me coming in the locker room. I did not celebrate. I was livid because I just felt like we were a better team than we displayed. And, you know, it should have never got to that point against Kentucky. And I think we took that for granted. We was playing Kentucky, thought it was going to be this, thought it was going to be that. And it was a lot tougher than we expected. And definitely just didn't play well defensively. And Randall Cobb had his day for sure against us.
You know, they came out to play. You know, I remember the offensive line, you know, they got up to play us. And I don't know if we got up to play them. I think in the locker room, the sentiments that Josh just shared, we all felt the same way. Coach Rocker passing the iPads out, and we were watching the film on the way on the plane ride home. And you know, we all got off the plane with our head down, you know, because we knew we didn't play good football. And personally for me, I didn't have a really good game. I remember, Josh, I don't know if you remember that play when Randall Cobb, I had him like 10 yards in the backfield for my first sack. They had him in the Wildcat at quarterback. He shook me out of my shoes. Ended up running across the field, ran for 50. And that was probably my biggest memory of the Kentucky game.
Let's move ahead to Arkansas. Lee, I know I asked you this every year when you were playing for a guy from Arkansas. And I know Arkansas probably thought that you were going to end up going there. What did that Arkansas game mean for you each and every year, including what turned out to be a crazy, crazy game at Jordan-Hare Stadium?
It was always very special, especially with my friends from back home, because about leaving the state and leaving them and everything. So it was always it turned into a wild game. It was just tit for tat. You know, it was crazy. I felt like every time we come off the field, we go back and do it again. And that was just wild. That was insane.
In the meantime, I'm going to ask Josh Bynes about 8 tackles and 2 picks. 2 picks in that ball game.
Oh man, that game was insane. That's when what's the quarterback name? Ryan Mallett. And Ryan Mallett, you know, he had all the hype. You know, he was like, all right, we got to stop him. And what they do, he went out early in the game. And for sure, I think it was Tyler Wilson, I believe the quarterback came in named. And I was like, we definitely for sure was going to, you know, blow this offense out. It's not even going to be close. And Tyler Wilson came in and just drive, like at the drive. It was just, I was like, whoa, is this dude better than Ryan Mallett? Because really he turned, like, it was just like, what happened? And literally the game, like Zimmer said, was like, they'll go back on, they'll go off, come right back on, go off. It was just that kind of game. And then finally towards the end in the fourth quarter, for some reason we come alive late. I don't know why. All of a sudden it took Zach, you know, getting a fumble recovery for a touchdown and the momentum swung. That next drive, I get an interception, and we score down and score. And I believe I got the next possession after that, I believe I got those two back. It was like three change positions in a row that led us to finally put points on the board and put the game out of water. But that 65-43 game, I mean, it's just – that's definitely a basketball score for sure.
For you guys, Nosa, I mean, you're rushing the quarterback on almost – every play, it seemed. There wasn't a whole lot of running. It was a passing game to be sure.
Yeah, for sure. They had an offensive, you know, genius back there calling the plays, and they did a really good job gaming us. We were in really tough situations, you know, on the D line wise, and we were doing our best, you know, and I felt like, you know, they had a really good offensive line. Their tackle that I was going up against, Love, was suffocating. And he was a really, really good player. You know, I just remember just drive after drive and knowing that if it got to the fourth quarter, which I knew it would, with our offense playing the way that they were, that we were going to need to make some big stops, and we were able to do that.
All right, Lee, let me switch ahead to LSU, and I want you to share memories on 2 plays in that game.
Okay.
Cam, what turned out to be Cam's Heisman run into the south end zone, and then Ontario McCaleb going 70 the other way to put you guys ahead to stay in that
right
against LSU.
It was definitely interesting on the play that, you know, Cam, I think he dodged the entire LSU defense, all 11 guys to score that touchdown. I remember watching that one. I think I ended up getting, I made my block on a linebacker and I ended up getting snatched. And I just see this big blue jersey running right past me. And all of a sudden we were in the end zone. It was just, I mean, that was pretty special. And watching Ontario McCaleb run, that was always something just, it was like you're sitting there watching a gazelle just run. It was unreal watching him in real life. The amount of speed that kid had, just and the way he could turn it on a different level. It's just, wow, what a skill. But, yeah, I think that was one of the greatest games we had as an offensive line and as a unit. I thought it was a very physical played game up front, very sound game, not very many penalties. And we were very happy at the end of that one. I think we rushed for 440 yards on them, something like that. It was insane.
Let's move ahead to Georgia. It's going to be the last home game for you guys, for you seniors. Josh, for you, you knew this was the last, even though you still have those hopes of playing for an SEC championship and a national championship, this is the last time you're going to step on the field at Jordan-Hare Stadium. What were the emotions like going into that Georgia game for you?
No, it was huge. You know, I had my family there as well, you know, because, you know, it's definitely the last, you know, home game of our senior season. And it was just big. And it also made it even bigger is because of the fact that we haven't beat Georgia since we was there. So me and Leah never won a NOSA. So none of us never won against Georgia. And it was definitely our time to finally get a victory against them. And I think we was definitely didn't play that well to start for sure. I think they jumped on us like 24-7 or something like that. I know they got up two quick scores real quick on us. Definitely didn't play the greatest. And I'm pretty positive in the second half, we pretty much shut them down. The offense just came alive and it just became, you know, obviously a typical game for us as far as demolishing Georgia because we couldn't stand them. And
Lee, you played over 50 games and started, I think, every single one of them, if not everyone, almost everyone. All right, the last time you're going to walk on the field at Jordan-Hare, what was that day like for you?
It was emotional, especially at the end of the game. I know that was we were a second half ball game, our second half team in that game.
Yes.
I thought we ran the ball fairly well in the second half, but I just remember winning the game and the celebration at the end when the seniors, we took a lap around and it felt like we got to stay out there forever, but I'll never forget that, you know, having fun with the cheerleaders and messing with the band and the crowd, taking our lap around the field. And just soaking it all in. We soaked it all in.
And that was, you know what? I forgot about all that. And you said it, and then all of a sudden it just hit, all those memories came right back.
Yes.
And lap around the stadium, and you're right, it felt like we was out there forever, man. It was just like, it's crazy. It was like, dang, like, this is it. Like, we're not stepping back on this field ever again. It's like, you know, especially when you come in to us, well, for us, me and Lee, in 2007, you're like, all right, it's going to be a long, you know, got 4 years, you know, it's going to seem like it's forever. But then you realize how fast it goes. And
during the Yachts workouts, it feels like,
oh, forever. My gosh, the Yachts workouts was crazy. So,
all right, you guys have talked about how this was a second half team, and there's no game that illustrates that better than Alabama. And when I talked with Coach Chizik, he talked about, and I'd forgotten how often you guys came from behind that season, but there was no bigger comeback. There's been no bigger comeback in the Iron Bowl than that game. So what was the difference first half and second half? And let me start with the defense first, Josh. I mean, you end up with 10 tackles in that ballgame. I mean, your stats look terrific, but for the first half, he said it was really execution in the first half defensively.
Honestly, it was execution and communication. It was a bad communication with our corner and the safety, and that led to who's still playing now 10 years later, Julio Jones. So Julio Jones is great then. He's still great now. And he just was open. And it was like, and all of a sudden it turned around again, another miscommunication. And then it was just a bad play, bad miscommunication. And we was just not executing very well in that game. And it showed because, you know, obviously Alabama, playing in Alabama is, you know, that stadium is already rocking. And, of course, they're trying to definitely knock us off the top at that time, too. So we had a lot of stuff, you know, to overcome in that game. And the funny thing about that game was in halftime, how we already knew we was going to come back from that game. We were in the locker room. I don't really recall a lot of guys really being like, we was pissed off, but it wasn't like, to the point where it was like turning on each other or anything like that. It was really turned into us believing in each other because we know what team we're capable of being and what team we're better than this first half team we put on display in front of everybody and took this butt whooping in the first half. And we knew for a fact in the second half we could turn it around.
No, so Ontario McCaleb talked about El Toro Freeman at halftime challenging everybody in the locker room. Do you remember Bull doing that?
Yeah. You know, it was definitely what Josh said. You know, there was this, you know, we all went into the locker room understanding that we didn't play good football. We understood that we had a lot of miscommunications and misassignments on the defensive side of the ball. We were playing with, you know, two of our best defensive linemen out, you know, having such a strong rotation up front, you know, missing those guys from what happened in the second half at Georgia. And we just had this confidence. And I remember Bull standing up and you know, him and Cam, you know, having a little bit of a, but it was all out of sheer, you know, we know we're better than this. Let's go out there and show it. There was so much emotion, of course, you know, with so much on the line. But it was just, once again, like we're a second half team. We come from behind. We've done this before, And I think that that was really the conversations that we're having, that were being had. And I think, you know, Bull was leading that. Our seniors were leading that as well. So that was the big thing, you know, and even just before the game, there was just so much. I think that even just the Georgia and the Alabama game, there was just so much energy and you know, just so much hype. And we all were so tight, really starting both of those games, you know, with, you know, the seniors being their last game at Jordan-Hare. I didn't know that they didn't beat Georgia before that. But you know, there was just this sense of, you know, we needed to go out there and perform. And, you know, we always played better when we were relaxed, when we were confident, we were moving in that direction. So it was nice to, you know, kind of get hit in the mouth a little bit and then having to respond. I think that what stands out to me the most is, you know, when I think about the play that Antoine Carter made, the defensive defining play of the season for us specifically, and him running down the sideline, chasing the Heisman Trophy winner, hitting the ball out of his hand, the ball staying in bounds for 10 yards, it going out of the back of the end zone. That was when it pivoted. That was really when it pivoted for us. And, you know, I remember, you know, I think a drive later, we get a stop and we're on the sidelines, and we always did, you know, what are you thankful for? It was always around Thanksgiving. And I remember as a defensive line, for some reason, we didn't get a chance to do that the Thursday, you know, after our practice. And I remember Nick, you know, we're down, you know, 21 points, and he just asked us all, you know, what are we thankful for? And we all said each other. You know, after that, you know, the momentum, what we were doing, it shifted where it needed to shift to, ensuring that we sent these seniors out on top. And we all had a collective part in doing that, and we made sure that we made it happen.
Lee, what was the spark offensively in the second half?
I think that that opening play in the second half to T-Zack, obviously, that was huge. I remember him saying on the sidelines, which was just kind of funny. He's like, yeah, I looked up at the Jumbotron and I saw the guy chased me down from behind. I had to throw it in third gear there to get away from him. I thought it was funny that he actually looks at the Jumbotron in the middle of the play. But I think as an offensive line, I thought that we were maybe a little too hyped at the beginning of the game and trying to do a little too much. Does that make sense? I think we just needed to settle down. And I remember what Coach Grimes told us in the second half. He said, look, man, you ain't going to get all this back in one drive. He said, just chip away at it one drive at a time. And all of a sudden, then, you know, the pass to Lutzenkirk, and we take the lead. And it was just like that. We just chipped away and chipped away one drive at a time. And the defense, the way they came out in the second half was just unreal, you know, letting us get back in it. And that was just – I mean, that was just a microcosm of the entire season. That game right there, how the whole thing went.
Coach Chizik talked about how they set up the throw to Phillip, that he always asked us to have that play in his back pocket. Mm-hmm. Talk about your assignment, because the play starts going to your side and then Cam turns and he's throwing back. Am I right there? He's throwing back to the left at that point.
Yeah, no, the play's going to the right and it's a throwback right to the left.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm supposed to do is try to, like, lure a defensive end out and suck him in and then run him past the quarterback and make sure his hands are out of the way, because it's kind of a shallow pass to Phillip right there. You try to get the flow, everything going to the right, and, you know, the backers and the safeties and everything kind of drifting to the right and then throw back to the left, and, you know, he's there every time. You know, once that happened and we finally took the lead, it was almost like in the second half we weren't even worried about the score. It was just one drive at a time. Let's just chip away at it. And all of a sudden we got there. You know, defense wouldn't let us let go of it. It was great.
What was the mood like after that game? And you guys have gone undefeated for the regular season, and now everything is in front. The SEC championship game and a shot at the national championship game are all now in front of you at that point. No, so let me start with you there.
We had, 23-24 seniors on that team. You know, they set the precedent of what the season was going to be. Plays that we were able to make, you know, and the games that we were able to have, you know, some of the young guys, you know, myself, Lutz, you know, Emery, you know, we all wanted to do it for them. And, you know, I remember going into that game and, you know, just understanding the dynamics of the Iron Bowl. You know, we talked about it all week. We had the bye week. We talked about it then. But there's nothing like pulling into Tuscaloosa. You know, we pulled in there, and it was my first time. You see a sea of red. And unfortunately, they showed, you know, their true colors. And from, you know, age 2 years old to old ladies, you know, everybody's giving us the finger. So they let us know how they felt about us. And the feeling was mutual. And you know, as we won that game, I tell everybody there's nothing that's sweeter than winning a game in Bryant Denny Stadium, especially when you have an Auburn AU on your helmet. Just the sense of the faces. You know, I remember, you know, getting that stop after T-Bell and getting that last stop at the end of the game, and I remember, you know, going to the sideline and just looking at their faces. And it just, you know, it brought a lot of joy to my face, and being able to celebrate at the end of the game, you know, and going into the locker room and just seeing just, you know, the Auburn faithful all around our buses, surreal moments that you never forget and you remember for a lifetime.
Josh, how about you guys? How about you and Lee? I mean, your senior year, you're undefeated. You're getting ready to play for an SEC championship then.
That victory, the way it ended in Bryant Denny Stadium was just, like, you just can't replace that feeling. Nosa hit it on a lot of levels. Just that game was just, you know, that's just something you tell your kids about. You know what I mean? Like, my son, like, my oldest son is 10 now, you know, and I've taken my boys back to Auburn and showed them, you know, even I won't come to the facility. I showed them the pictures and the national championship photo down by the locker room. And, you know, just tell them about the history and what it took to get there. And the guys, the sacrifice, you know, just talk about all those things, because that season was just full of adversity, full of, like, guys just being sacrificing for one another, knowing what it takes, believing in each other. It's everything rolled in one season. And you can never replace that season and the guys and the relationships you have with those guys forever. And regardless, like, even Lee and Osa, even though we all don't talk as much and stuff like this, always love each way. And that's what it is about Auburn. You're always family. And that game was just simply just like, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm gonna sit there as a granddad one day and with my cigar and just be telling about this story, what happened against Alabama. That momentum right there from that game, for sure. It's like you couldn't even tell us we weren't gonna beat South Carolina. South Carolina, we're gonna beat South Carolina in SEC championship for sure.
What was the difference, guys, between the first South Carolina game at Auburn and the SEC championship game? Because it was really a different game. You guys dominated for the most part that game. Lee, what was the difference?
Well, I was really nervous. First of all, I messed up shaving, so I had to shave my mustache off for that game. So I thought that was going to throw the whole thing, you know, off. And then we're trying to play for a national championship game. We probably ain't going to go to the national championship game if we lose in the SEC championship game. So it would have all been for naught. Instead of my blue headband, because I had long hair at the time, the equipment staff hands me an orange headband, which I haven't worn an orange headband all season long. So I was all screwed up that game. I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I told everybody, I said, look, y'all just buckle up, you know.
It was crazy. I'm glad the fact that you shaved your mustache and you had an orange headband on, that things still worked out well.
I'm telling you, I was nervous. I was nervous about that.
All right. Defensively, guys, what was the difference? No, so let me start with you.
It was insane. You know, I think, you know, going into that game, you know, always watching the SEC championship. I remember being a kid in Texas, always. I never missed the SEC championship. You know, it was always something that I watched the first weekend of December. So to be playing in it, it was a magical experience. And, you know, we knew what we needed to do. I think, you know, defensively, we were confident. We understood the first game. We understood the type of game that Alshon Jeffrey had. We knew we weren't going to let that happen. I mean, defensively, you know, on the front, we were really challenged. I remember Coach Rocker really challenging us to really, you know, own the game. And I remember we did a lot of quarterbacks, but, you know, specifically their quarterback, you know, we really put the heat on them that game. And we put them in a lot of tough situations. You know, I remember at halftime, you know, one of the most, you know, searing the memories of Coach Chizik. I remember him, you know, stopping us all right before we get onto the field in the second half, because we were all pretty, you know, elevated. We were all pretty hyped because of the Hail Mary right before halftime. I remember him stopping us and saying, hey, fellas, 30 more minutes to be remembered forever. 30 more minutes to be remembered forever. You know, it was just this, like, reset. Okay, let's go get this done. And, you know, I got some stories, and Andy, we've talked about it, you know, and about a similar you know, thought that was put on my head of that experience in 2013, going into Pasadena. But, you know, in 2010, I remember that really centering us. And we went out there and we got it done.
All right, Josh, what was it? What was the layoff between the SEC championship game and the national championship game? Because it's almost a month. You guys have got to stay sharp, or you have to get sharp again. So what was your thought process? You know, semester comes to a close. You're a senior. You're about to play in the national championship game. Auburn's first chance to play for a national championship since 1957.
It was an amazing feeling. I know we was all on a serious high after the SEC championship game. And honestly, we just couldn't wait, because I think the talk we've had, I think from the beginning, even from the time Cam got there, we finally did some the spring training, spring practices, and you just felt it in the air. We spoke on the beginning. Hell, I even said it at SEC Media Day, and I know all the guys felt the same way. It was just that, oh, we're going to the national championship, and to see it actually come to life from what we were speaking of months before, when everybody was like, Auburn, like, national championship, really? You got, you know, Bama, you got this, you got that, to finish it off with SEC championship, to go and, play against Oregon. It was like, all right, now let's go finish it. And the biggest thing of us for planning for that game was just basically making sure we're in shape, because yeah, Oregon, the way they was running that ball, they ran it for 400 or so yards, number one offense, all this good stuff, number one rushing team in the country. You know, we was like, we got to be in shape and condition. So coaches did a freaking amazing job of us running and had the plays faster. I honestly felt like it was slower in the game than it was in practice, because how much, like, they went after, like, every, it was like play, boom, 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 next thing, snap, boom, boom, boom. Like, we was knocking out plays left and right real fast and real quick, just, you know, to simulate what it's going to be like from Oregon. And, our coaches did a freaking amazing job preparing us for that game.
All right, no, you end up with four tackles, all solo. You have a tackle for loss in that game. You're capping off that freshman season in the desert and winning a national championship. What did it mean to you?
Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? You know, it was the icing on the cake. You know, I think, you know, when you take a month off of football and you're still in season, you know, and you're undefeated and you're going back home, you're having everybody pat you on the back, you know, you bring home a Heisman Trophy winner. There was a lot, you know, that you know, getting back into the swing of things. You know, I think our coaches handled it incredibly well. I remember Coach Rocker, I don't think I've ran that much in, you know, the rest of my time in Auburn, that much in season. And he was, the last thing that we were going to do is be, you know, we weren't going to be tired. It wasn't going to happen. So our coaches did an incredible job just ensuring that, hey, you know, we're going to make sure that they're ready. I remember the scout team offense, they ran two offenses. After one play, the other offense would be set, ready to go, and you would have to run. And Josh is calling the signal. I mean, it was mass chaos in practice. That for us, you know, I remember, you know, when all the pundits were talking, you know, 50-65, you know, the scores, and everybody thought it was going to be this high scoring game. And you know, I remember our seniors saying, "No, they're not gonna do that on us." We saw it watching film. They didn't play in the second half, I don't think. I remember watching the film, like, man, these dudes don't even play in the second half. But everybody, they just blew out of the park. And they had ballers. They had, you know, Michael James and all those guys. But, you know, we knew for sure that, you know, we had a better team. You know, we had better players, and that we could dominate them offense. I mean, you know, on the defensive line. And we took it upon ourselves to do that.
The two defensive guys, where were you guys on the game-winning field goal?
Where did I watch it? I was on the sideline. I believe, I can't remember who was on my arms, but we was all just sitting there on the arms looking. But honestly, you know, West class 2007 with me and Lee. So we knew when he got a chance to go, it's like we already knew he was going in. But we were just trying to figure out how we're going to celebrate it going in, like more than anything else. Because, you know, we're just that confident, and we knew it was built for this moment. And West, shoot, he had thousands of those kicks throughout his whole 4 years at Auburn. And to cap it off, you know, in fashion, to win that championship was, you know, it was just about how we're going to run on the field and celebrate. And when that kick went up, it was just like, no, it's good. Just ran. And it's just one of those, it's just amazing. Just like that feeling, even bringing it back now, is just like, you know, it's just that feeling is just, you cannot replace that in the relationships and the guys, the brothers, you, everything you've been through to get to that moment and to actually make that happen. I just can't believe it's been 10 years since that happened.
Yeah. right, Lee, two plays for you, bud.
Yeah.
The Dyer run where the play literally stops, but the whistles aren't blown, and he keeps going on that game-winning drive.
Right. Yeah, it was to the right. You know, I had to block a backer on that play, and, you know, just – I think, you know, refs don't really blow a whistle. You don't hear really a whistle down there while you're playing. It's just kind of natural. The play stops. And everybody starts looking at each other. All of a sudden, I look at the sidelines, and there's coaches saying, go, go, go. And I just realize, oh, my gosh. And everybody starts taking off running, so we're running as hard as we can go. I don't know if we were trying to catch our breath or what was going on, but we were trying to figure out what was going on. You know, and then the referees talked about it, and we ended up, you know, I can't remember what yard line they called us down on. Once that happened, I think we kind of knew that Wes had it in the bag because of just who Wes is. You know, the guy's cool, calm, and collected no matter what situation he's ever in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we knew, just like Josh said, we knew he had it in the bag then. And, you know, it was just up to us to block for it. So,
all right. So what did you do on the field goal?
Field goal, I blocked down, and then Casey Matthews, who's one of Oregon's linebackers, tried to skate across my outside shoulder. So I ended up having to stick my leg out and trying to make sure he ended up on the ground, kind of tripping him, I guess. I don't know if they call it tripping. He may have dove. I think he dove. It was definitely
everybody was diving. Yeah, yeah. Because I was on the field goal team too. So I remember my guy just, you know, I think he got a false start, to be honest. He came off the ball. You know, I was just trying to ensure that I did my job. You know, that was the biggest thing. But we were so confident in Wes. You know, I put my hand out there. I got a piece of him. You know, Wes, you know, I just see it kind of going in. I mean, I remember, you know, that picture that's all over Auburn. You know, just to, once again, just to, like, pause and just, like, know that, like, we're immortalized, right? Like, on that unit, that field goal, that picture is everywhere, and it's going to be in Auburn forever, right? 100 years from now, people are going to be looking at that picture. And I remember just taking off. Like, I threw my helmet off. I don't even know if that helmet may still be on the stadium somewhere.
Did you guys have a sense of what that game meant to the Auburn family? Because, I mean, all those years that they didn't get a chance to play from 57 until 2000, well, it was 11 when you guys played. Did you have a sense of how much that game, how much that title meant to those long-time Auburn fans?
I don't think I did until we got back home. When we got back home and had the celebration, and then I started seeing how many of my friends and people in Auburn had actually made it out to that game. You know, and spent the money to go out there and get a ticket. And you didn't really realize it because it was just football. When you got home, you kind of realized how special that was for everybody, for the Auburn family. What a blessing to be a part of something like that. That unbelievable. Yeah.
How about you, Josh?
Yes, I agree with Zimba 100%. Like, you know, coming back home, the fans, like the family, like it was just, you know, unbelievable. I remember, and this I knew was a big thing too. It was either my first year or second in the league, and me and my wife were out at dinner. All of a sudden, a guy picked up the tab, and I was like, "Who?" And she was like, "That gentleman right there." And I was like, "I don't know that guy," but I was like, "Oh, I got to say thank you, of course." I'm like, "I don't know why he did that." And then, what do you know, Auburn alum? I think he's from like 90 something. Yeah, he was like, "Man, you know," and then all he talked about was national championship and how much it meant and everything like that. And I was like, man, like it just from that moment, it just shows how deep like and rooted that Auburn spirit is and about us and how we are like family, no matter what year you went to Auburn, whatever it is, you are always a part of Auburn family and it's always well represented and always open door policy, open arms. And that's what I love so much about Auburn. And you just, it's embedded in you deeply, me and my wife, like it's my tag, everything. Auburn is within my family throughout, through and through. My boys, they know War Eagle. They say it. My 5-year-old's been saying War Eagle forever. And like I said, I try to get down and go to Auburn every time I can in the off season to continue to show them, you know, what is like such a great place to, you know, have a family and also just to be a part of and just have this deeply great thing about Auburn is about family and tradition.
No, so you got a chance to play for a couple championships. Did you have a sense though what that 2010 team meant to Auburn?
You know, I think, you know, when you know, you're such a young, you know, 19-year-old, you know, winning a championship, you know, being the best in the country, best in the world. Everywhere we went, you know, people let us know how much they appreciated that. It was one of those moments where the stories upon stories, you know, everywhere we would go, you know, individuals would stop us and they would tell us about specific moments. They would talk about, you know, coming back from 24 and Tuscaloosa. They would talk about the, you know, what they spent to come to Arizona just so they could be in the stadium. It was just one of those, you know, surreal moments that I think when you're in it, right, like you just can't fully appreciate it. But now, of course, 10 years, you know, later, you know, you look back on it and you just know that it was a complete blessing, like Zimba said. But, you know, more than that, I think that, you know, we were all destined for it, you know, and you know, everything just happened to work out in our favor that year, because, you know, we were meant to win the championship. We were meant to have the season that we did, and we were meant to do it for the Auburn family.
For Tasharvin Bell, Ontario McCaleb, Josh Bynes, Nosa Egwai, Lee Zemba, and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. I'm Andy Bertram. Be strong and be courageous. Whoa, Regal.